The reading tonight is taken from the second letter of Timothy, chapter 1, verses 8 to 14. And it continues with the theme from last week, appeal for loyalty to Paul and the gospel. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it is now being revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome again to St. Giles. If we haven't met, my name's Steve and I'm the vicar. Welcome to St. Giles. If you weren't here last week, Beth gave us a little introduction to this second letter of Timothy. I listened to it in the car on my way back from my holiday. It was really good talk, actually. Just a little bit of background. So Paul is writing this letter. He's probably in prison when he's writing it. And you can see references to that in that passage. Timothy is a young man who he has appointed. Church history points to the fact that Timothy was probably appointed as the leader or the elder of the church in Ephesus, which is in Asia Minor, modern Turkey. And it seems that he was either a young man who lacked confidence, or else he was just somebody who was in the early stages of leadership and he just needed encouragement. So that's a bit of background to this reading. Now, over the last couple of months, since my summer holiday, I kind of feel that God has been pushing me out of my boat a little bit in terms of speaking and doing various things. And so I'm kind of going to approach this passage tonight in a way that I just wouldn't normally approach it. And so I have to just say I feel a tiny bit out of my comfort zone. So we'll just have to see how it goes. And I'm just trusting that somewhere in this, God has a purpose and that he has something that he wants to say to us this evening. The title, I don't know whether you noticed on the service sheet, you'll have seen it there in the opening verse. The title for this evening is Don't Be Ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Verse 8, we heard, so do not be ashamed. I want to start by talking a little bit about shame. Now, as I say, I feel a bit out of my comfort zone, and I don't feel at all like I'm qualified or an expert in many ways, except that the more that I thought about this particular question, the more I realised how I've come into contact with people who carry a sense of shame, particularly in the 13 years that I've been a vicar. So is it okay for a moment if we just talk a bit about shame. I mean, the first thing is fairly obvious, I think, and I can definitely relate to this. There's a very long list I could pull out at this point in time. Most of us can recall the feeling of shame about something that we've done. Now, I'm not about to sort of open the cupboard and reveal all, but I'm sure if we just stop for a moment to think back, we probably can call to mind things that we've done that we regret and that we're ashamed of. Now, as a vicar, it's a humbling thing, and it's a privilege, actually, because people tend to trust you with their secrets. And sometimes people trust me with secrets, things that they're ashamed of. In 2007, I was a curate in Shrewsbury. I definitely considered myself a beginner, a bit like Timothy, a bit wet under the ears. And I used to go into a nursing home in Radbrook to hold a communion service. And it was very pleasant. People were very hospitable. And I went in and we'd have communion, we'd have tea and coffee, and I'd leave. 1 week before I went, I had a phone call from the nursing home manager. And now, I'm afraid I can't remember this lady's name, but the nursing home manager said, "When you've done with the communion service, would you mind visiting Mrs. So-and-so in room such-and-such?" I didn't know her. And I wondered what on earth that was all about. So I had the communion service, and I went to visit this lady. She told me she was, I think, 84 or 85, and we just began to sit down, and she began to tell me that she'd had an affair. Her husband was dead for many years, and I think 2 or 3 years after they'd got married, she had an affair. It lasted a couple of years, and then the affair was ended, and then life carried on, and she never told anybody. She never told anybody. And yet at the age of 84, she carried a sense of shame in her heart, and she longed to be free from that. And it was a tremendous privilege to be able to sit down and talk to her about God's forgiveness and how if she could come to God and admit that and say sorry, that God could forgive her. And he did. And she was free. Now that's perhaps at one end of the spectrum. When I was preparing this talk, another incident came to mind, and this is much more ordinary. And I guess things like this happen to us all the time. Perhaps they happen in our families. When we lived in Cambridge, this was 2003, I think it was. We lived in a row of terraced houses, and my son Joe came in. He'd been playing out in the street, and he came in, and you could tell on his face that something was wrong. "Dad, I've done something. I've broken the window next door." He'd been throwing a ball against the wall. Have you ever done that? Throwing the ball against the brick part of the wall. You throw it really hard and then catch it. Throw it really hard and then catch it. And he'd missed. And he'd broken, smashed the window. He felt ashamed. Interestingly, what was different about those two experiences was that lady who felt that sense of shame about something that she did couldn't tell anybody. But my son Joe came and told me. I think she was afraid to tell somebody, but Joe actually wasn't afraid to tell me. He came and told Dad. But he certainly carried that sense of shame. And of course, I had to pick up the bill, and I had to get the window repaired, and the window was repaired, and all was well. I wonder if I was to ask you, I wonder if we were to have a one-to-one conversation, or if you were to have a one-to-one conversation with somebody that you really trusted, I wonder what would be in your back catalogue. Actually, I wonder what would be in your today catalogue. I know that I meet people and their today story is a story of addiction. It's a story of things that are happening today, and they feel deeply ashamed, and they can't get free, and they long to be free. Do we all know what I'm talking about? We've experienced it for ourselves. We've seen it in our families. I want to just delve just very briefly into the fact that I also know sometimes shame is about things that we've done, but more painfully, shame is sometimes about things that other people have done to us. We hear in the newspapers and on the television, don't we? We hear many stories now, stories of abuse, which people have lived with for many years. And it's strange. I almost don't know what words to use, but it's striking, isn't it? That often when other people have committed that abuse, the people who've experienced that abuse carry the sense of shame. They blame themselves. That's what I encounter often when I meet people. Things have happened to them, and somehow they blame themselves, and they're carrying that sense of shame. And they're either carrying that sense of shame because they feel responsible, or quite simply they're just carrying a deep sense of pain and shame over what had happened. And they've often lived with it for many years, because these experiences, we know, they leave deep wounds and hurts. And sometimes they are quite simply just too painful to confront. And they're deep wounds which need healing, they need counselling, they need careful pastoral intervention, and sometimes they need long-term processes. And so these people live with a sense of shame. And actually their biggest fear is, what would happen if I opened that up and told anybody? I guess we're increasingly aware as well, aren't we, that there's a deep sense of shame and stigma around mental health issues today. Now, I just want to, it's maybe not a very fair split, but I'm going to split it anyway. For non-Christians, often the fear is of being judged. They fear how they'll be treated. And often people live with this sense of shame, and there's a reluctance to ask for help. It may be a reluctance in the workplace, or it may be a reluctance in their family. And we see that, don't we? We see a deep sense of shame about mental health issues. Sometimes for Christians who are struggling with depression or anxiety or panic attacks or some sort of mental health issue, being a Christian gives them a different sense of shame, because they feel guilty for what they're feeling. And we sing songs about being free and you're never going to let me down, and Savior, he can move the mountains, every giant will fall. And the reality for their lives is that there's a giant in front of them which has not yet fallen. And sometimes people can sort of think, well, it must be my fault then. I haven't got enough faith, or I'm not a good enough Christian. Actually, I'm rejoicing and I'm glad that today, in our world today, there's much more willingness to talk about, in particular, these issues. And when we talk about them, the sense of stigma reduces. And actually, if we can do anything to reduce that sense of shame, then it makes it much easier for people to begin that process of dealing with the issue that they have. Now, I've taken a very long way round to come to our passage, haven't I? It's a very long way round. I've talked about this shame of things that we might have done. I've talked about this deeply troubling aspect of the shame that people feel when other people have done things. I've talked about the shame around mental health. What on earth's that got to do with this passage? Well, of course, there's a different kind of shame in this passage, but I bet that most of us can relate to it, because Paul is encouraging Timothy not to be ashamed, to speak up and say that he's a Christian. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed to talk about Jesus. Don't be ashamed to talk about your faith. I was just thinking about this and thinking about how much the world has changed. I grew up in Northern Ireland. Actually, in the 70s, when I was a teenager, it was very, very respectable to be a Christian. You could talk openly about the fact that you were a Christian, and you wouldn't get sneered at or laughed at. But it's a different world today, isn't it? And I'm not going to, you know, try and give you examples, because you will be aware of countless examples of just being a Christian in the world today, in the 21st century, in a world which has largely rejected Christian morality, largely rejected the church and the institutions of the church. And it's a very different world. And so most of us, I suspect, will have had moments when we know that we should have spoken out, or we should have talked about our faith, and we didn't. And it might be a fear of rejection or a fear of ridicule. It might be a fear that we won't fit in. It might be that we're establishing a new circle of friends, whether that's, you know, we've just come to university, or we've gone to secondary school, or we've got a new job and we're trying to build this new circle of friends. And we just feel a bit tentative of what would happen if they discovered if I was a Christian. Would I still fit in? Would they reject me? Perhaps a fear of the consequences. I know, certainly looking back on my career in Jaguar and Ford, that I know that there were moments that I faced when actually for me to be true to my convictions would have an impact on my job prospects and what others might think of us. And in its worst case, some of us may well have experienced discrimination, hardship, or even persecution. It may be personal, or it may be a fear of associating with Christians. Maybe you have Christian friends, Christian colleagues, and they're a bit more visible and they're a bit more vocal than you are. Maybe they're more forthright about their faith, and that might be in a positive way or it might be in a negative way. I mean, what do we do about the Christian at work who is a real pain because they're saying inappropriate things? Do we associate with that person? It's a tricky business, isn't it? And I guess that is the shame that Paul is addressing in this passage when he speaks to this young man who lacks confidence. And he's saying to Timothy, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. We'll just pause there for just a moment. And I wonder if any of the things that I've talked about connect with your life, or whether you've experienced any of those. I did look up kind of what's the definition of shame. It is interesting, actually. Shame is a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. Does that make sense? I think it does make sense. So it's a feeling, it's an internal thing, a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. Where did it all begin? Anybody know where did it all begin? This feeling of shame and the consciousness of something done wrong? In the garden. Do you remember back in the Garden of Eden? Do you remember the story? I hopefully don't need to repeat it, where they were given all these instructions, but they were just given this, don't eat from that tree. They did. Eve and Adam ate from that tree. And what did they do? They felt shamed. They felt shamed. If you look back there, you'll see that they felt ashamed. And there's a little bit of a development. And I think this is the standard pattern when it comes to shame, which was that they felt naked, exposed, vulnerable. Then they felt afraid, and then they hid. They hid. And I think that's what happens when we feel ashamed, is that we hide. We feel vulnerable. We're not sure. We don't want it to be revealed. We feel afraid and we hide. And at the heart of shame, I think, is fear. At the heart of all of these shames is fear. A fear of the consequences, a fear of what others might say, a fear of how we'll be treated. Fear always comes from the enemy. Fear comes from the enemy. It paralyzes us. And I just want to say that is not where God wants us to live. So whether we're carrying a sense of shame or whether we can relate to that, God does not want us to live in that place of shame. God wants us to live in a place of freedom. Now, depending on what our situation or circumstance is, it can be a long road from shame to freedom. If you've experienced perhaps abuse or neglect or some of those deep wounds, it actually can be quite a long road to travel to get from shame to freedom. But the good news is that we are here this evening in the presence of a God of love who wants to release us from shame and release us into freedom. He wants to release us from shame and he wants to release us into freedom. And I wonder if that's you this evening. I wonder, perhaps it might just be one person. Perhaps it's more than one person. And somewhere in the things that I've talked to you, it resonates with you. Well, I just want you to know this evening that God doesn't want you to stay in that place, in that prison of shame. God wants you to be living in this place of freedom. Paul says elsewhere, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose again. That's why he sent his Holy Spirit. That's why he established the church. That's why he's still at work in the world through his Holy Spirit and through his church. Because the cry of his heart is that people might be freed from shame and might walk in this place of freedom. Ultimately, God wants to break the power of fear, and he breaks the power of fear through his love. Through his love. God, just give me one word from this passage this evening. And actually, the word isn't in the passage. But the word that God gave me was the word courage. Because I think to walk out of shame always requires courage. To begin that walk into freedom always requires courage. And I want to suggest how we might take the first step. For some of us, it'll be just the first step. For some of us, actually, maybe even tonight, he wants to release you completely from shame so that you begin to walk in freedom. But for some of us, it's just that first step. And I'm just going to point to a few things in the passage. And maybe they'll just give us a key to how we might begin this walk. So verses 7 and 8. The Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. I think the first step in walking away from shame is to face your fears and speak up. Face your fears and speak up. Choose to speak out. Testify. Paul was talking about his testimony, his story. And I want to say to all of us, if there's any sense of shame that we carry, I think that the journey out of shame begins with having the courage to speak up, to tell your story, to find someone that you trust, someone who's going to receive your story with love and help you to take the steps out of shame. You see, Timothy actually was a timid character, wasn't he? And Paul has to say to Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of timidity. And there's all sorts of fears. What the devil wants us to do is to stay in that place. And so, if you like, our lives get filled with fear. But the way that we begin to break that fear is to speak it out. to tell someone else, to tell your story, to share your testimony. And I want to say the same thing is true in terms of if we're afraid to admit to others at work that we're a Christian. I used to find that the simplest way just to begin was just to simply say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. It doesn't require a long explanation, but just to sort of say, I'm a Christian. Or last week, I went to church. Or I went on an Alpha course. We just begin with those simple words. We speak out the truth. We speak out our story. I think it begins with having the courage to speak out. And if you like, that is the first step on the road to freedom. There's a little summary of the gospel in verses 9 and 10. Paul reminds Timothy that God has saved us and called us to a holy life. It's not because of anything that we've done, but it's because of his own purpose and grace. And the grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. And it's now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. Paul's reminding Timothy of the story of salvation, present and future. Actually, that passage talks about death and immortality. We don't, at this moment in time, we probably won't go to prison and we probably won't get executed for being a Christian. But actually, Paul is pointing to something beyond this present life. He says Jesus has overcome death. And even if that was the consequences, we shouldn't be afraid. And he's reminding Timothy, even if you feel unworthy, even if you feel inadequate, remember, God has saved you. You're safe. Your life is in his hands. Your future is in his hands. Eternity is in his hands. So face your fears. Remember God. Remember your salvation. And then maybe this is the kind of verse that's at the heart of this. This is certainly the most familiar verse in this passage for me. Verse 12, Paul says, that's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. You see, the heart of walking out of shame and into courage is to jump into the arms of our Heavenly Father who knows us and loves us. And there's nothing that we've done, past or present or future, that we cannot give to him. And actually, I don't totally know what that verse means. You know, that the thing that I've entrusted to him, he's going to keep it until that day. And I actually haven't taken the time to really dig into that. But what it sort of says to me, actually, at one level is, whatever the secret of your heart, you can trust God with it. There's nothing in your life that you cannot entrust to God. So face your fears, remember that you've been saved, but entrust your life to God. Entrust your life to God. I'm going to skip on a little bit and just leave out a few things that were in my talk, just to say two final things. Now, we didn't quite get to it in the reading. I thought we were going to do up to verse 18, so I did look ahead. But there's a lovely little bit right at the end of the chapter. Paul talks about people who were ashamed of the gospel and deserted him. But then he talks about this lovely guy, Onesiphorus. And Paul says this, he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. And I think at the heart of this walk out of shame into freedom, not only is to look to God, your Heavenly Father, but to allow others to minister to you and come alongside you. Onesiphorus came alongside Paul when he was in prison. He says he refreshed him, he encouraged him. And isn't that what we need? If we're going to walk out of shame, we need to have people alongside us who are going to minister God's love to us, who are going to remind us that God forgives us, who are going to remind us that God accepts us. And then finally, just woven all through this passage is leaning on the Holy Spirit. Look to the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember what it said at the beginning? God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. In the Holy Spirit, there is power to break the chains of the past. There's love, and there's that strength and power to walk that path, to walk that path of courage towards freedom. So as I say, I feel a little bit out of my comfort zone in this passage, because I've taken the passage and I've applied it in a slightly different way. But I just wonder if there are some of us here this evening who need to walk, who need to have the courage to walk this path. I won't say anything about the personal details of this, but this week I heard a lovely, inspiring story of a lady who has taken that journey. She's taken that journey. And she had the courage, actually, to tell her story. And she told a story of how God had met her, how others had encouraged her and helped her. And it was a long road. And yet I heard her speaking with joy in her heart. And she was in a place of freedom. What a transformation that can happen when we choose to take that first step in faith, when we have that courage to speak out and ask for help. And it's absolutely inspiring. And it just reminded me, it was so encouraging. I mean, sometimes I think, oh, those things only happen in HTB, or those things only happen on the television. God is doing it here in Northampton for those who have the courage to put their lives into His hands. The road to freedom means having the courage to take that first step. That first step. Should I try and finish? I think I should try and finish, shouldn't I? If we are ashamed to wholeheartedly declare to our friends and neighbours and colleagues that we are a Christian, this is the heartbeat of our life, I want to say that God wants to release you from that shame, and He wants to baptize you with boldness, the boldness of the Holy Spirit. If you're ashamed of anything you've done in your life, there's forgiveness, there's acceptance, there's freedom because of what Jesus has done on the cross. If you're living with shame because of what others have done to you, you could take the first step, and your journey of healing could begin tonight. If you're struggling with anxiety or a sense of shame about your own mental health or your ups and downs and how life is, then you can know that there's acceptance here, there's support, there's no shame in saying that that's how you feel. If you're struggling with addiction, if you're ashamed to tell anyone, then your journey could begin by simply telling someone that that's the reality of your life. I believe that God's desire is for us to live in freedom. That's where He wants us to be. He wants us to be released from fear, whatever that fear is, to walk in His love, and to know that we're not alone, that He's with us, and that He loves us.